Log on and win.
Welcome back to In Focus here on News Radio KMAN. Brady Bowman with you. Here in studio with me is Manhattan Mayor Linda Morse and also City Manager Ron Fear. And I'll ask this question. Whoever wants to answer it can. But let's just pretend money's no object. And you can do whatever you want to try and make sure Wildcat Creek doesn't flood like this when we do have these sort of torrential rains. What is the solution if money's no object?
Well, I think that was kind of, you know, the caller we had talked about the grant we went after, and that was really the kind of the framework that we looked at was what do we do with this wild stretch of creek? And, you know, the typical answer would be, well, let's keep it natural. And so it was to purchase any of the properties that had flooding and then go maybe a little bit beyond that. And then turn it into just a natural area with trails and design those trails so they could be inundated. You know, we have had repetitive flooding at Annenberg Park, and we knew that when the park was built. So we tried to design it to where the water would flow through and cause as minimal damage as possible to the sports fields. And happy to say that it had damage, but it flowed to where it typically flows, and we pretty much didn't have much damage to the actual sports fields.
When as expected, so, as designed.
Right. Yeah. So, you know, you can do some of that design work, and in some areas we may be able to do a better job of doing some flood-proofing measures. So whether that's a flood wall or something like that, if, you know, some of the more recent properties that have been improved, there might be some measures that you can take that. But if you build some of those measures, that means that water's probably spreading out farther some in other direction because that impediment is there. So the other thing that was a first was there at Village Plaza, we did some flood measures there. We put a flapper gate on a culvert that, because most of the previous flooding that happened there was from water that backed up through that culvert into that shopping center, into the parking lot. And so that was one of the first places I went yesterday on my way to the EOC, and it was still fairly dark, but it was, you know, other than the rain, there was no water standing there. And so
and a flapper gate.
So a flapper gate would be like you've got a big 4-foot, 5-foot culvert that goes from that parking lot in the southeast corner underneath Seth Child's and over into Wildcat Creek to drain that parking lot out. At the end of that, it's a big cylinder. We put a flapper gate on it. And we have these on the levee in some places too, where it's just they're a gravity gate. So when it's raining, the gate lets the water out, but when the pressure of the backwater comes against it, it seals. So doesn't let the water to back into that. And that's just so you get those rains to let it out versus a actual valve on the levee where we might close the gate permanently. But the water came up and over the old railroad track yesterday. That's how high it got there. And so there's, you know, that was something we'd never seen before. And we actually had some drones fly over the area a couple different times yesterday and caught that. So, I mean, that was very educational that we were able to pick up some of those aspects. So you can, through that kind of information and some of the data you gather with that, then you can see areas where you might be able to harden some of those physical infrastructure improvements or, again, try to make your streamway wider so that you don't have some of that repeat damage issue. So, things to consider going forward for sure.
Here with Manhattan Mayor Linda Morse, also City Manager Ron Pierre, who you just heard speaking. Do want to remind you that phone lines are open, 785-537-1350. And Mayor, that was something I noticed yesterday just looking at all the coverage that really for us was a great help to us. Is just as far as one, in 2018, everybody has a cell phone, everybody has a camera, everybody's putting all that stuff on social media. It's not the way it used to be where people were wanting to see that stuff, but they had to totally rely on on whether it's us or the newspaper to get stuff like that out now. So some people look at that as like, well, isn't that kind of competition to you guys? And I'm like, no, that's extremely helpful to us because most of the time we don't have the manpower or the budget to get some of that footage out there in real time. So that's a real help for us, and we're able to just kind of share that on our Facebook pages as well and our social media, and it's just a real collaborative effort. But a lot of that drone footage Ron just mentioned, that is extremely helpful in these cases.
It really is. It makes a difference, those technologies, and in many ways, that's how we were found. Yesterday, I listened to the press conference at RCPD, Ron and
Pat Collins,
on my phone because I couldn't. I thought, well, I'll go out there, and then I couldn't get there in time, so I just listened. But it matters, too. You know, we used to be totally dependent on radio and television, because otherwise we didn't know. Now we've got people taking pictures of things and sharing it and saying, the bridge is open, the bridge is closed. So it really helps you make your decisions about what you want to where to go and how.
I will say where our value still lies is we're able to kind of dissect that information and get what's right, what's wrong, and all that stuff
That's
out there
true.
to everybody. But going back to kind of what I was my original question, if money was no issue how to fix Wildcat Creek a little bit, because I know the city did apply for that grant, and that grant was ultimately denied. Was 15. That?
Yeah, there were a lot of people that applied for a limited amount of funds.
Like 50 million.
It was kind of that. I mean, the whole purpose was to, you know, the grant, the folks that were sponsoring the grant, and there was quite a bit of private. I think it was the McCormick Foundation were also one of the sponsors. I may not be right on that, but there were some national private foundations that were sponsoring some of those grants as well, and so there were just a lot of applicants, and ours just didn't quite get there.
And I know one thing that I also noticed yesterday that's kind of the insult to injury to some of this for those affected, that it really did affect a lot of like low-income housing and folks who really aren't the least likely to be able to take care of some of this stuff is who it affected most. And that was kind of the more sad part to me about this yesterday.
It's so unfortunate. It's true. As I look around the community, those were the areas that, if you look at national issues, national trends, it happens nationally. It's not just something unique here. And while I don't want it to happen. So it's important that we take control of what we can. And for the future, as we look to the future. So now we're looking at a map of all the places that were inundated. And we know all the places we need to work on. But we don't want to create more of those spots that'll flood in low-lying areas. And we want to move people further to safety. And that's what we have to work on.
We got another phone call. We'll take this phone call. We'll answer it. Then we'll go to our last break. But go ahead, caller. You're on in focus.
Well, if you ask your specialist that's coming in about the amount of water that was flooding, how many of the ponds out at the fort that they need to build along the fence line, how many of the ponds to hold that water, and then the flooding that we're missing out on up there at Tecumseh, just south of the health department. The proving of the point is the retention pond there in the grassed area at the health department. Did it hold the water back and help with some of the flooding that you usually had there on Tecumseh? Thank you.
Yeah, that's an excellent point. There actually still is a project in our stormwater master plan that originally called for purchasing a lot of the properties below that particular area in Tecumseh and putting in large buried stormwater lines to carry some of that flow. Very expensive. There was a time when flooding rains like that would cause cars to float west to campus there on College Heights and some of those areas. And so three different detention structures, one just behind the football practice facility up at K-State, one to the apartments there along College. When they expanded, we made that detention structure larger, and then the one the that was the caller mentioned there below the health department is the other one. And those are doing very, very well. So as we've seen those detention ponds handle those rainfalls and reduce the flows downstream, we've pushed those big, heavy infrastructure projects that are very costly back further in the master plan and evaluated whether we may need them at all. And some of the other measures there were to purchase properties that were impacted as a mitigation measure. So we haven't had to do that either. So they do have a good value. It's just getting enough of them, and we need a lot of them in the Wildcat watershed to make it worthwhile.
They're one at a time, and each one is a CIP budget item that has to wait in line to be accomplished. So it takes time, but
let's take our last break. We'll come back and wrap things up. You're listening to In Focus on News Radio KMAN.
The KMAN Morning Show is brought to you by M&S Plumbing,